When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth, the fountain of truth about aging. I used to say a joke. It's not so funny anymore. The joke was there's good news and bad news. The good news is you're going to live longer. The bad news is you can't afford it. Well, now that may very well be the case. And so to the rescue, we have Ronald Sears. He is the host of a wonderful show, and you can find that at babyboomerinvesting.show.com. He is also an expert in the field of personal finance, and you can find a lot more about that at targetdatesolutions.com. Of course, we'll be including that in our wrap-up of the show on our own website, adrienneberg.com. So Target Date Solutions serves the institutional investors that might be your lifeline. That's your 401k plans and so on. And he also serves the people like you, and these days like me too, who are individual investors at age sage. So his entire focus is on the right way to invest as you get a little bit older, and how to be more conservative and not take losses in what may be, in his opinion, a long-term inflation period. So, Ron, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thanks, Adrienne. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Yeah, it is going to be fun. But let's talk about the rest of the story. You have an article, The Rest of the Story, that tells the rest of the story about what we may be facing. People are concerned. They perhaps are concerned for the first time in a few years. They may be just retiring right now. They're thinking maybe they don't have to go into rehirement. But explain what inflation is and why you think it's going to be with us for a while.
Sure. Before I get into that, I just wanted to say our major message is, I think, the same as yours, that baby boomers at this stage in their life are in what is called the risk zone, R-I-S-K mm-hmm. zone. And retirement researchers have documented this. Google it and you'll find all sorts of articles. But at this time in their life, the thing that baby boomers should be doing is protecting their lifetime savings. So even if these threats were not there, the smart thing to do would be to be very, very safe for roughly the 5 years before and after retirement. So and the threats right now, inflation is a very key one. And in the article, The Rest of the Story, I identify there's two causes for inflation. One is called demand pull, and the other is called cost push. Demand pull inflation happens when supply shortages occur, and that's what's happening right now.
Right.
So the inflation we're seeing now is demand pull inflation. But that will probably pass. So the cargo ships will get unloaded. People will start going back to work. So when the initial response was this is just transitory, that part is likely to be true. Demand pull inflation will subside. But cost push is caused by our government creating too much money. And it's the old story with too many dollars chasing too few goods. And I'm going to throw out a number at you, and it may not startle you, but let me just say it is just incredible. We have printed $16 trillion in the last 9 years. And let me put that in perspective a little bit. Our most expensive war was World War II, at least restated in today's dollars. The total cost for World War II is $4.5 trillion. So we've basically printed three times the amount that we needed to finance World War II. So where did that $16 trillion come from? Roughly $5 trillion was used up in quantitative easing, basically the safety valve that was released to help us avoid a recession from the 2008 market crash.
Right.
So that's still going on a little bit, but you know this is being curtailed.
It's been a long time between drinks there, so that has
definitely
curtailed.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah. COVID has cost us $6 trillion.
Bingo. Right there.
And it's like know, there's a social good that's going on there, but that people just aren't wondering about what that cost is. It's a lot. So that's
now
11 trillion.
Yeah, so you know that one of the issues, of course, with inflation is that when we print money, we devalue the dollar. It's just like anything else.
Exactly.
And when that's what's happening. So when the dollar is devalued, it costs more to buy anything.
Exactly.
And of course, because we're also in a global market, if other countries are not devaluating, it just simply costs more to buy their stuff.
Exactly.
And it's a global market. So this is what you're feeling. You're feeling in the marketplace and people say this or that, but Ronald Searz says it's going to be with us for a while. But when we come back, I want to talk about a big problem because of that. If things are going to be more expensive for us and we're already retired and we're more or less on, let's say, no matter how much money we have, we're kind of on fixed income because we have a pension, even if it's a big one, we know what it is. If it's Social Security, the cost of living index isn't so great, whatever it is, we're more or less on a fixed income. Mm-hmm. And how do you live the life that you anticipated and are living now? That's number one. And number two, we hopefully are going to live even longer than we planned for. That's what I call the bad news. So with the whammy of inflation, we have the double whammy of needing money to last longer and very frankly, not wanting to curtail our lifestyle at this stage of our life. This is the reward stage. We come back, we're going to talk to Ronald about what we may be able to do about that. Remember, through Age Sage, through his show, Baby Boomer Investing.show.com, he solves some of these problems. So we've set it up. But now when we come back, we will talk about the solution. Don't you guys go anywhere.
All of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy and I freely admit I'm inappropriate. For my age, da 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 da, da 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 da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age, da da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bowl, the fountain of truth, the fountain of truth about aging. And we have an interesting situation here that has been exposed to us, basically, by Ronald Searz. He is one of the great thinkers, but also advisors in the field of personal finance. Target Date Solutions serves the institutional investors, the people who may be controlling and making decisions about your 401k, even about your pension plans. Age Sage serves the do-it-yourself individual investor, giving you guidance. And of course, he's an advisor. He's also on the air with babyboomerinvesting.show.com. And you should also take a look at targetdatesolutions.com. So there's a few things that he set up for us that we would call the problem. The problem is in printing money and bailing us out from COVID and spending money on our research, very important research, we've also devalued the dollar. And there's some shortages, whether it's at the gas station, the food storages, and so on. There's definitely supply chain issues. So things cost more. If they cost more and we're on fixed income, whether it's a low or high fixed income, it's still fixed. What do we do if this inflation continues and Ron feels it would? So a couple of things to unpack this. First, Ron, I'm not so sure everybody knows what target date investing is, but since you have targetdatesolutions.com, let's take a look at that as a potential solution.
Sure. So target dates funds were around for a long time. They were primarily used for college savings plans. And what they do is they're fairly aggressive for younger people. And then with the college savings plan, they get more and more conservative as your student gets closer to enrolling in college. So aggressive early on, then becomes more defensive through time. The Pension Protection Act of 2006 made target date funds really popular for retirement plans. And what that act did was it declared three what are called qualified default investment alternatives. And those are for people who are in 401k plans who really don't know how to make a decision. They know nothing about finance, nothing about investing. So the 401k plan sponsor puts them into a default. So the three defaults that qualify are a target date fund, what's called a managed account, and a balanced account. By far, the target date funds have become the most popular because they're sort of like risk control on cruise control. So you start out fairly aggressive and become defensive as you get near the target date. I've been warning people on our show that if they are in a target date fund, and by the way, more than half of the assets in 401k plans are in target date funds. So it's over $3 trillion now. The target date fund designers have made a huge mistake. And their defensive posture at the target date is about 50% in equities, and that was fairly safe. But most of the balance of the assets, at least 30%, are in risky long-term bonds. Now, in 2008, when we had the correction, those bonds defended. They're not now because interest rates are almost zero, and the Fed is allowing interest rates to increase. So those bonds are very risky. And what I'm saying to you is at the target date, you are about 80% in risky assets. So I have a patented design that is 30% risky assets, much, much safer, but not very popular because over the last 7 years, the stock market has gone up 600%.
Right. So who wanted bonds?
Exactly. And who wanted, exactly. Everybody. So my competitors have far outperformed me because my emphasis is on safety and theirs is on, frankly, I think those designs are to pay the fund companies more because they make more profit on bonds and stocks than they do on cash.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a couple of things involved here that I want people to understand with bonds. They often don't understand. If you buy a bond and it has a certain interest rate and interest rates go up, you're devaluing the bond. Obviously, if you can get 7% somewhere and you own a bond that's 5%, you can't sell it for a profit. People don't want it. You have to sell it at a discount.
Yes.
So your bond goes down in value. Unless you keep it to maturity. And those bonds could be 20 or 30 year bonds. And we're 65, so good luck, holding them to maturity. So you are on paper losing some money. And there are better ways to do that. Now, when we come back, I want to not only talk about ways of learning more about balancing your funds, targeting date your funds, but also one of the things that I do like, and we talked about this a little bit, Ron, during our short break before, is mixing the assets with some tangible assets that people have long, long forgotten about.
True.
So when you hear about this, you may say, oh, this is too much for me. But it may be what's necessary for real long-term security. Don't you guys go anywhere.
Inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da da da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg. And before we go any further, it's pretty clear. I have been in the field of personal finance since 1988. My old shows up until 4, 5, 6 years ago were about money. And I want to give you some resources. We have today with us Ron Sears, who is one of those resources. And I have given you a couple of his websites. I'm going to ask you him again in a moment to give you all of the ways that he can be a resource in terms of you finding him. I also always remind you that particularly in the field of finance, we do not take money. We don't. I have been licensed. His clients are not my clients. We have nothing to do with each other. I respect him, and I want him to speak to you because he speaks to baby boomers specifically from a financial point of view. But for me, I'm out of the business, except that if you go to Amazon, you can get a lot of my books. And there are two of those 14 books that are relevant to you. One of them is called Making Up for Lost Time. That's for those of you who really didn't save enough for retirement, regardless of what the economy is, making up for lost time. And the other one is How Not to Go Broke at 102. And that is the first book that melds geroscience and how you might want to plan your finances because you will be living longer. My concern is not so much of running out of money because of the economy. It's running out of money because you're going to outlive what you planned for, which I'd like you to do, but I want you to be able to pay for it. So please look at those two books. Simply go to Adrian Berg Amazon. Now, Ron, you have a variety of different resources for folks. So give us all the websites that you would like them to take a look at in this time when they may be a little bit nervous.
Sure. Let me focus on one we haven't said. You mentioned it, but if you Google Age Sage Robo, you'll find me. It comes to the top of the Google search. And it's not so much a website as an educational platform. And the other one for education is the babyboomerinvesting.show. So those are places where your listeners can go and see what I do. And those websites are not, well, anyway, they're very educational.
Right. Very valuable information for you to take control. And if you do know about robo-investing, we've talked about it. It is for the do-it-yourselfer. Yeah. And it's all the rage. And I'm tough. Don't tell me, I can't use technology. Get over it. So There you go. That's Age Sage Robo. All right. So what I did in another book, which actually I should have mentioned, and that is The Retirement Income Solution, was, and this was way before the inflation, it was about 2 years ago, right before COVID, I think it came out, was mix and intermingle tangible assets, which do better during inflation. And that would be gold, and that would be silver, and that would be real estate. So all kinds of tangible assets that do better. What's your position on that?
One of the guests on our show is a award-winning journalist. He's in Israel, and we ended up talking about the advice in the Talmud, which I thought was the Bible, but it's not. It's the go-to book for those who want to learn from wisdom.
Right.
And in the Talmud, it says a third in business, a third in land, and a third in reserve. So the third in land is
that?
Well, I mean, it's sort of an all encompassing solution. In today's situation, I think the third in business should be the tangibles. So it should be gold, it should be precious metals, it should be farmland, it should be natural resources. You know, all those things that are in fact risky, but that business slot is for risky assets. I do think the stock market is hugely overvalued. So you can certainly take your chances. And I was on a web TV show yesterday, and they interviewed four people. We each got like 15 minutes, and then we each got basically a 10-second slot on this show.
Oh, great.
Three of the four people all said, stay the course, buy the dip. It's going to be wonderful. I was the only one who said, this is going to last for a long time. And also, which I didn't get into the clip, if you're a baby boomer, you just need to be safe. You can't take the risk that this is going to reverse. So one of my most read articles is, don't stay the course if you're on the wrong course. So
interesting. One of the baby boomers, I call this the baby boomer dilemma. Many of us are living in our bank, meaning that because of inflation, the value of our homes have skyrocketed.
Yeah.
But we want to stay there. We want to age in place and stay there. We've made our little nest. And many people, particularly my age in their 70s, it's already their second home. They got rid of the big first home. And now they really are aging in place. And that place went up, whether it's a condo or an over 55 community. So they got a lot of cash sitting, doing nothing in their home. What's your take on borrowing some of that equity? A good idea, always used to say, is it too risky to have a mortgage, or should we be using some of that?
So this is cooking that we've eaten, my wife and I. We have a reverse mortgage, and it helps us sleep at night. We did not take a lump sum. We took a line of credit.
Yes.
So if you need to spend some of it right now, that's fine. But just locking in the ability to spend some of your house without needing to move has a lot of appeal. and there's certainly lower costs than all the transactions you go to downsize and do all the stuff of selling your house. You can also take out a home equity loan, but then you need to start repaying that as soon as you take it down. The difference between that and a reverse mortgage is you don't pay that mortgage back until you sell the house or die, one of the two.
Right, and so you with can. Line of credit, plus you can, if you do well, you can use some of that money. And if you don't use some of that money, it just stays there almost like a credit card, let's say, that you haven't used the money, you're not spending any money on it.
Great. Now, the other reason we bought it when we did is I was thinking we could get serious inflation when we got the mortgage. So that we got the mortgage 5 years ago.
Right, but then interest rates were much lower too.
Right. So the interest rate is capped, at least with ours. I don't know what the current deals are. But it's capped fairly high. For us, it's capped at 12%.
Right.
But my thought was we could easily see interest rates above 12. And when you've got that, you've got an arbitrage opportunity. So I could borrow at 12 and say invest at 15.
Yeah. So whatever. End this little segment with what used to be called the sandwich. So you have to have been around for a long time, like Ron Serz has, and so have I, to see all the permutations. The sandwich was just what he was talking about, and that was that you could borrow at a certain interest rate, and then even in other countries, you could put that money, that cash, into a bank and get more in interest. And so that's what he means by arbitrage. He sees Ron is very fancy, but I'm from Brooklyn. I'm not so fancy. So I don't use the word arbitrage. What I say is you borrow at one lower rate and you invest at with guarantees, of course, at a higher rate, and you're making the difference. That's arbitrage. Now it's not so fancy. But all of these things you may need to start thinking about after the age of 70, 75, if I'm going to tell you that geroscience is going to bring you up to 105, and you may not be ready for that. So we always say, oh, it's going to get simpler. It's not going to get simpler. Not if you want to do it right. And for those of you who do want to do it right, don't you go anywhere. We'll be back in just a moment.
Full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. We are here today with broadcaster, babyboomerinvesting.show.com, and with a gentleman who's really put a lot of information out there at Age Sage Robo. And he does take a little bit different, let's say a more complex, which is never good, because when you need to make people think, often they say, oh, it's too much for me. But we're here with Ronald Serz, and I won't call him a contrarian, actually, because more and more people are on his wavelength, that we're in a risk situation. Now, what you'll be hearing, and I agree with this part too, I have to say, is don't panic. Panic is the worst thing. Fear and greed are the two things that'll really put you down financially. So we're not talking about fear, and we're certainly not talking about greed. But it isn't always right to simply stay the course if you're heavily invested in the stock market and you are using your money. Now, remember, at our ages, even because of the new Secure Act that has allowed us to continue to put money in if we earn it and really protect ourselves tax-wise for longer, even with the new Secure Act, and there's a whole article I've written, and on adrienneberg.com, you'll find my 45-minute explanation of the Secure Act. Because it is good for us. It's a recognition we're going to live longer. But the problem is that we also cannot afford to lose a lot of money in the market and wait it out, since we are still forced to take a certain amount of money out every year. And you're probably taking it out anyway to live on. So it's okay if you have a very long-term horizon to stay the course. For most of us in the year 2000, which is already over 20 years ago, we would have been better off not bailing out and maybe taking today's advice of buying more. It would have made us wealthy today. But it's a little bit different if you have to liquidate and use your money. So what we're hearing from Ron Sirs is that you need to take a little bit deeper dive into what might happen if we have continued inflation. And he just wants to give us a quick explanation of the, I call it the fulcrum, Fed policy and the value of the bonds that you may be holding. Not to scare you, not to make you afraid, but to help you understand. So go ahead, Ron.
Okay, so the Federal Reserve has been implementing what they call zero interest rate policy, ZIRP. Sometimes it's called ZIRP. And the way they do that is they buy up bonds to keep interest rates low. They have now, and by the way, that the buying the bonds means creating money to buy the bonds. So that's part of the inflation problem, is they've been part of the problem of creating inflation. Now they've been charged with controlling inflation. So part of what they have announced they're going to do is to what they call taper, which means they're going to do less bond buying. And by doing so, they allow interest rates to increase, not just short-term, but long-term interest rates. When the brake is totally taken off, bond yields should go to 3% above the rate of inflation. That's the historical average. So in today's 8% environment, that would be an 11% interest rate. Now, when that's done, that's all good for baby boomers, because we've gone through a decade now where we can't get any money on safe investments. So we've been getting 2 or 3%
zero at the bank, right? Zero
in a CD. Terrible. Yeah. It's terrible. So the end result will be good, but the path to get there, as yields go from the current 2 or 3 to 11, this is a shocker, but the arithmetic is absolutely right. Bond prices will decrease by half. So the bonds that you're holding right now, if the Fed really lets it go to its ultimate unmanipulated level, will go down by 50%. When that's all done, though, you'll want to own the bonds, because they're finally going to be priced as what they are. Now, what happened the last time the Fed tapered, that was in 2013, the stock market went down. And the stock market really relies on low interest rates, because companies can borrow at low rates. Future earnings are discounted at low rates. So in 2013, when they tapered, the stock market went down. The Fed got pressure to resume its bond buying. And sure enough, the stock market went back up. This time, if they go back to controlling interest rates rather than controlling inflation, they're going to be printing money. And that's just going to inflate, this is going to exacerbate the inflation problem. So they are caught. And I think they're going to make the decision to control inflation. And if they do that, then we will see interest rates increase.
Now, if you have to understand that, if you have to think of stocks and bonds as competitors of each other when it comes to the individual investor. Because the individual investor is going to say, why should I take a risk on a stock when I'm getting 11% on my CD and it's guaranteed, right?
Yeah.
So
exactly.
That's why you have that fulcrum. So, and there are many, many solutions here, by the way. We're only presenting the problem. One of the solutions was already mentioned, and that is to have a better balance between stocks and bonds. And you can take a look at target date solutions just to see what Ron has to say about it. Another one we already mentioned is that you mix your assets. You have some tangibles. I remind you, and I've written so many articles, that you could own real estate in your IRA. You can own real estate in your Roth IRA. I mean real estate. I don't mean a real estate fund or a real estate investment trust. I mean a piece of land. You could do that if your money is all there. It's a particular kind of IRA. It's called self-directed, but I've got plenty of stuff out there with regard to that. And another one is that you just be judicious about your own spending so that when new things happen that have better opportunities than they do today, you can take advantage of them. And you know this is not the time perhaps to go around the world and just see for a moment how this all shakes out. It's really fascinating stuff, Ron. And before we leave this, I do have to say that finding the right advisor is probably the key to everything. And you've done a lot of work in helping people understand that. Give us a little bit of an insight on that one, Ron.
Sure. Well, we have a show that is called the 70 Baby Boomer Shows, 70-Year History of Investment Consulting. And I have a test. And if you go to an advisor, you have an advisor who's telling you 60-40, that's the
wrong
advisor.
You mean 60% stocks, 40% bonds.
Exactly, yes.
Balance.
Right. Yeah. So that's a warning sign. And we explain in the show why that 60-40 is so universal. And it's just wrong for baby boomers, especially now. Before I forget, we haven't mentioned this, Adrian, but one of the things your listeners should look at is Treasury Inflation Protected Securities Tips.
Right.
And then a related vehicle called I-bonds. The difference between the two is the I-bonds are really designed for individual investors. The tips are more for institutional investors. But
yeah, I-bonds cap at about $10,000 a person.
Right. Yep.
And right now they're paying 7.2%, but they are long-term. They're 30 years, but you get a penalty if you take it out, but so small a penalty that it's still much better than, let's say, cash in the bank or whatever.
Exactly.
So these are all things that we thought, now it's time to coast, right? Well, unfortunately, it's not time to coast. And what this show is really about today is what I heard. He didn't say it to me, that Warren Buffett said. He was asked, Ron, why are you so good at investing? And he said two words. He said, pay attention, because I pay attention.
That's good.
Isn't that great? And that's what we're trying to do, help people pay attention. And you've done a wonderful job doing that. Thank you
so
much.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I have another Warren Buffett thing. If we just take a second, I saw him interviewed years ago about quantitative easing and what he thought. And all he said was, it's an experiment of the magnitude that has never been ever done before. And
wow.
No one knows what the ultimate outcome is going to be, but it's going to be big.
You know, we're schmoozing here, but I think it's worth saying this one last thing and why it's important to look at somebody like Ron Sears and other people who are looking at older adults and investing. It's almost like a doctor who understands geriatrics. Because there was a great line also, Ron, from a very acerbic journalist. He said, an economist is like a man who knows everything about women, but doesn't know any women. Sometimes a financial advisor knows everything about baby boomers, but doesn't know any baby boomers.
Yeah.
They're so busy with people in the middle of their careers and the executives, they really don't know what happens after that and post-retirement.
That's
so
sure.
It's kind of, Art Buchwald was his name. Such a funny thing. All right. Thank you so much. I hope that we've given you a lot of food for thought, a lot of information, not made anybody greedy, not made anybody fearful, but made people aware, alert, and even interested in learning a little bit more about their own personal finances. Thank you so much, Ron.
Thank you, Adrian.
And for everybody else, you know what I'm going to say? Get out there, kids, and make it happen.
I'm inappropriate.